Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Geeks and News Podcast. We are back for episode 32. I have survived the hurricane. There is a wonderful shirt there. I am wearing the hoodie you can get on our merch store. Right in, if you're on Twitch, by the way, if you're on Twitch, please hit that follow button. If you could subscribe, that'd be greatly appreciated. That money helps grow the channel. If you're on YouTube, hit that like and subscribe. Hit that notification bell so you know every time we go live. If you are on Facebook, please hit that follow button. Hit the thumbs up. Greatly appreciate that as well. If you're interested in any of our merch, you're on Twitch, there is a little thing below the above me about me section. You can go there, or you can just go to thegeeksandnoobs.live. That's thegeeksandnoobs.live. Our merch store is there. Now, as I said, as I am located in Florida, we did have Hurricane Ian roll through. The southwestern coast did get pretty devastated. A lot of flooding and damage down there. So thoughts and prayers out to everybody out there. Fortunately, where I'm at, even though I am on the West Coast, I was inland and high enough up that I didn't even really get much of the storm at all.
That's good.
Even though like Tuesday, they were doing like systematic blackouts of power just to test things. I had to cut the Wrestling with Toxicity short. The only blackout we had, or power outage we had, was about 4 o'clock in the morning. We had a 20 minutes where we were out of power. That was it. Didn't really have much wind damage. There's some tree branches down, very minor ones. All in all, where I was at, we had it pretty easy. So thank God for that. But obviously, I had to keep an eye on everything because there could have been a chance of no podcast tonight because of it. But we're here, and thankfully. And so let's get to it. So before we jump into the She-Hulk episode 7, we're going to touch very briefly on something because Kel and I are actually going to shoot a YouTube video doing a full react to this, but obviously we can't go without talking about the fact that Hugh Jackman is returning as Wolverine. I mean, come on.
Oh, did not think we would see this at all.
Yeah.
I know Ryan Reynolds has been trying to get Hugh Jackman to come back to at least make a cameo in a Deadpool film, and he hadn't done it yet, but I mean, this took everybody surprised. Nobody saw this coming.
No, not at all. He posted the video on his YouTube, and it's been all over TikTok and everywhere else. And then, of course, there was an additional video shot where they explain how, well, because one of the big things that people have been like, the detractors of it all have been like, no, Logan was a perfect send-off. How dare they tarnished Logan, da-da-da-da-da. It's like, okay, first off, that's a different timeline. Mm-hmm. Second off, it's in the future. It's 2029. The MCU is currently in 2024 to 2025. So that's the future. Excuse me. So in perfect Ryan Reynolds troll faction, they made him and Hugh Jackman sat down on that very couch and made a video explaining how it doesn't affect Logan and how the comeback makes sense.
Yeah.
But as they go to talk about it,
I mean, you,
a song by Wham plays. So.
Yeah. Reynolds is a huge fan of George Michael, as he should be. I mean, name a bad George Michael song.
There isn't one.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, he'll probably, he will die. Like, maybe it'll be a good way to, like, ensure that Hugh Jackman is truly done in the MCU.
Yeah.
Because you know he can't do this for long. I mean, a man's in his 50s now, and the amount of work that goes into requiring, you know, to be Wolverine. Plus, they want to obviously have Wolverine for years. And if the rumors are true that, when they acquired Fox, they also acquired the contracts. Those contracts run to 2025 with these actors. They're wanting to recast everybody. We're not going to see the X. There's a reason that at San Diego Comic-Con 2019, you know, or 2018, the last one before this one they were at, you know, he made it very clear we're not going to see the X-Men for 5 or 6 years. And then COVID hit, and that added a year and a half to everything. Excuse me. So, yeah.
But just can't believe that this is going to happen. Finally, actually going to get to see the true Ryan Reynolds Deadpool and Hugh Jackman Wolverine finally come together and team up. Hopefully, you know, I really want to see a buddy cop film.
Well, it's funny you say that.
Yeah.
Because the comic he's reading on the toilet in the video just so happens to be an issue. I believe it's Wolverine number 21, where it's basically a buddy cop road trip episode with Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
So I have a feeling that's what we're going to get. Future mentions, I've heard rumors that they might also introduce a new Wolverine as well. And they could, although I don't put any stock into too many rumors that you hear, because nobody saw this coming. Nobody saw this coming.
No.
So any rumors you hear about what the story might entail, just at the end of the day, don't hold them with any weight whatsoever. I don't know if they introduce a new Wolverine in this film. I doubt it. I really think it'll just be more of a happy kind of send off for Hugh Jackman in the like a nice one and done in the MCU.
Yeah.
As well as just a way to establish where Deadpool fits in the MCU, the multiverse, the whole thing. Now, this movie will be the actual kickoff of Phase 6. A lot of people think it's the last film of Phase 5, but if you look at the calendar that was shown, they showed the Fantastic Four kicking off Phase 6, but there was a film from fall 2024 slated below it that was unlisted. Mm-hmm. September of 2024, when the film is coming out, would be fall of 2024. So it looks like this will be the actual kickoff for Phase 6, which makes sense. I forgot to silence my phone again. Terrible at that.
Yeah. When was Thunderbolt supposed to be released in 2024? It's at the end of the year.
I think it's actually like the summer.
In the summer?
I believe. Let me pull up the calendar real quick.
Because I know at the D23 panel, somebody said that the Thunderbolts will end. Excuse me. Thunderbolts would end Phase 5.
Let's see here. Thunderbolts are July 26th of 2024.
Oh, wow, that early. I thought it was later. I thought it was going to come out in, like, November.
No, no. It'll be, yep, July. So, Fantastic Four is November of 2024.
Oh.
And then before that, we get September of 2024, Deadpool. So, yeah. The actual kickoff of Phase 6 will be Deadpool 3. Which I think is, honestly, I think that's it's perfect, because you're...
Oh, yeah.
You're tying a bow on the multiversal saga with Phase 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kicking off Phase 6 with somebody like Deadpool, I think really helps kind of, like, show the craziness of it all and where he can fit in and how to keep him involved. And then... To lead into, it's a nice, funny way to kind of lead into these very harrowing tales we're going to get with Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars. The more I hear about Quantumania, the more I hear a note from She-Hulk, and we'll get into this as we get into the episode. I truly feel that Doctor Doom will not be the big bad.
Mm.
I truly feel that Kang will be brought in as the Doctor Doom character for Secret Wars. And that Doctor Doom will be slowly built up to be the main big bad of 7, 8, and 9. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, how can you have Secret Wars without Doctor Doom? Easily. You just replace him with Kang. It's very simple. Yeah. Show me any storyline that Marvel has covered in the MCU that has been word for word, or even like Civil Wars. It's the only resemblance is the fact you had Cap versus Iron Man.
Yeah, really.
Age of Ultron, the only semblance there was the fact that Ultron was in it.
Yeah.
Ragnarok, the fact that Sulter was there. Like, there's so many things. Like, nothing of it really does. It's just using the names. So,
yeah,
this is pure speculation, but if they do a multiversal road trip, what do you think we could possibly see? I'm actually going to save that one. We're not going to talk about that just yet, Nelson. Here's the deal. Tomorrow, Kel and I are going to actually do a full YouTube breakdown of these videos. from Ryan Reynolds and give our full kind of like theories and wild speculations of what could come from Deadpool. So keep an eye out for that. Shoot it tomorrow. Hopefully I'll have it edited by the weekend. We'll have it up by Monday. So just keep an eye out for that. Make sure your notifications are on for YouTube. We'll have that video up. On that note, let's talk about She-Hulk episode 7.
All right, let's get into it.
So, yeah. Gosh, man.
I mean, we hoped he wouldn't be what we thought he was going to be, but he is. Yep. So it's not a surprise, but it's a disappointment.
Yeah, he broke my heart.
Yeah.
Broke my heart. I was really hoping it wasn't going to be that much of a trope, that much of a very obvious thing, but we were right to see the writing on the wall. Or the writing in the text, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And so the episode, it has a very interesting flow in that it kind of jumps around a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I thought it was really cool. I enjoyed the episode a lot. I want to start there. I really enjoyed this episode a lot. This show has not disappointed. Even the episode, like episode 4, which was, to me, the weakest episode, was still a lot of fun. I've enjoyed this series so very much. I love that Marvel is very self-aware and very much using the hatred and the vitriol out there to their advantage. And for those who think that there's no plot here, I just don't know what you're watching, because there's very much a plot. Intelligentsia is going to be playing a big part of this. For those unaware, in the comics, this is a group of super smart supervillains who create basically a think tank, Intelligentsia. And it's not really led by the leader, but he kind of is like the one that helps form it. And you've got people like MODOK, and that's very important in it. You've got people like Egghead. You've got all these, everybody who's these super, like, hyper intelligent villains, including Dr. Doom. And even at a point, Kang. So this is going to lead, I think, into New World Order. It lends more credence to Jennifer Walters showing up in the next Captain America film. I think that Marvel will also... There's a lot of vitriol around the name New World Order from people who are trying to take down Marvel, saying that it's an anti-Semitic thing. Yes, during World War II, the New World Order was kind of a rumored movement to get rid of Jewish people. Or it was meant to slander Jewish people by saying that they were trying to take over the world from the outside in, or from the inside out, I mean, and take over Hollywood and take over business, and that was the New World Order. The reality of it is now New World Order has a vastly different meaning. It's more about like the Illuminati kind of stuff, those kind of conspiracy theories. The Breitbart stuff and stuff like that. And it's about people controlling, you know, pulling the strings. And that's what we kind of touched on it in Winter Soldier. Hydra made the realization they couldn't take over with brute force, so they had to do it from behind the scenes, pulling the strings. And that's what they were doing. And that's what Intelligentsia did in the comics, is that they were shaping world events from behind the scenes to fit their goals. And I do believe New World Order, we're going to see, obviously, the leader kind of step up. We're getting MODOK in Quantumania. Yeah, I mean, obviously, anybody who's a wrestling fan sees New World Order and immediately thinks of, you know, Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and Voodoo Child by, you know, but... Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see, and I love this subplot that is actually the kind of the main plot. But we also got some very interesting new characters in this episode, and I'll let you touch on that first.
Yeah, so the episode starts, Jen goes out on a couple of dates with Josh, then they appeared to go really well until, you know, Jen invites him into her apartment. And next morning, Josh isn't there. And, you know, sends him the text, hey, last night was fun, can't stop smiling. And then she gets ghosted. Oh, it was ghosted so hard. It was sad. I was like, finally, Jim meets somebody good. And then nothing. It almost makes that last guy she went on a date with in episode four, three, when she went on all the dates. Excuse me.
Three, yeah.
Three. Made that last guy she went out with not look so bad. Because at least he did stick around in the morning to actually see her. But, you know, then she spent, like, that was on a Friday, spent all day Saturday waiting for a text, no, with no reply. And then she gets a call from Emil Blatsky's patrol officer saying that his inhibitor has went off. And they don't know what's going on, and they can't get a tactical team together to go check it out. So he asked Jen to go to his little retreat that he's put together. And so they go up there to check out, see if he's intentionally done something and turned into abomination or what's going on. But, you know, he's just kicking back, said, oh, yeah, I had an issue with one of the electric fences because what my favorite chicken was stuck in it. And then must have zapped the inhibitor, which took it offline. But they got it fixed. He hasn't done anything that we know of. And the parole officer, he speeds out of there because he don't want to be there any longer than he has to be. Because he's terrified that he could just, you know, Hulk out, turn into an abomination, and just smash him into the ground. But Jen gets ready to leave, and then all of a sudden, two brand new characters come out and smash up Jen's car. And might I add that the person playing Man Bull, his name is Nathan Hurd, I believe. And he's on TikTok. I've been following him for a long time. The guy is hilarious. And he's really good in this episode, too. I loved it. Definitely one of my favorite new characters is Mamble. I want to see more of him. And then, what's the other one's name?
El Aguila.
El Aguila, thank you. Which he is...
I should mention,
yes,
in the comics, at least, El Aguila is a mutant. He is a mutant. Now, it is believed he lost his powers in the M-Day event and never got him back. But that's never really clarified in the comics either. But possibly another mutant right there.
Yeah, they said that Manbull, he was a genetic experiment.
Yeah, he actually has ties to Daredevil. He was kind of a thug for hire for this guy. I can't remember the character's name. But when he failed to beat Daredevil and get what his leader was looking for, he was forced into the experiment and became Manbull. Now, what's funny is this retreat is supposedly mostly villains. We do have a guy who thinks he's a vampire, which that character's his name is Sorison, I believe is how it's pronounced. That character, excuse me, in the comics, that guy is actually just a mercenary. He's a Punisher villain. Has no ties to vampirism at all. So that was an interesting twist on that character. You have Porcupine, who was a guy who worked for the military. He made that suit. The suit, they wouldn't buy it. So he thought it was going to make him filthy rich. He then turned to a life of crime. And then, of course, you have... Wrecker. But out of all of them, like, everybody else are villains except for El Aguila. He's actually, I mean, he's a hero for hire. He gets hired by a bunch of different government agencies, but he's still a hero. I thought that was interesting. But we also get El Aguila, Manbull, Sorison, and Porcupine. introduced here. We also get Wrecker from the Wrecking Crew.
Yeah. And completely came out of nowhere. I was shocked.
Yeah, I was. Really, I know when he walked in and I saw him, I'm like, he looks familiar.
And then, the
subtitles said Wrecker, and I'm all like, wait, what? And then, of course, the scene breaks down where she hulks out and goes after him. But the whole time she's there, you know, Blonsky, before Wrecker shows up, and the whole kind of, there's a whole shift in the narrative there. You know, she's spending time trying to get signal because she's still hung up on Josh not texting back. Mm. And, you know, Blonsky's trying to, look, no, this is a great place. You know, I really have turned over a new leaf, blah, blah, blah. We're trying to really help people. And it feels a little cultish, but kind of just in that alternative medicine style cult. Yeah, where it's not really a cult, but it is kind of just culty.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Like those, it's almost like one of those seminar kind of things where people go in for self-help and self-reflection. And
like cult meets Ponzi scheme, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't think there's any ill intention on Blonsky's part.
At least not yet.
I do think that there is a chance he does still join the Thunderbolts. Like, I do think there might be a chance where maybe in a post-credit scene of episode 9, Val comes to him to say, hey, we can work your parole off much faster if you come work with us. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would definitely be shocked if we didn't get something like that.
Yeah.
Because I really find it hard to believe that they're going to make a Thunderbolts movie without, you know, the Abomination or some kind of a genetic,
hey, some kind of bigger powerhouse than what we're getting, because a lot of the people, they're not even like super powered. Of course, like Bucky has extra strength, John Walker has extra strength, you know, but Ghost has some ability, you know, Red Guardian is super strong, but it's still a lot of the similar abilities and powers. I don't agree with the whole it doesn't make any sense, because I do get that it's a ragtag group, and obviously anybody who's ever been in the military understands you don't get a bunch of people with different abilities. You try to incorporate groups, train them similarly, and have similar abilities. Yes, you want people who specialize in other things as well, but the reality is you're going to have a group that's going to be a lot of very similar people.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I saw an article today, and everybody take this with a moonside's grain of salt, but we all know that, unfortunately, William Hurt, who played General Ross, he unfortunately passed away, and he's not going to be able to continue, obviously. But in this interview that I read, or not an interview, but this article that I read earlier, said one key person that they were looking to maybe replace or recast as General Ross is Harrison Ford.
I saw that as well. To be honest, I don't think Harrison Ford will do it.
I don't either.
He's kind of come out and said he won't do that kind of stuff anymore, and he especially doesn't really want to do a superhero film. So right. I don't see that happening. But I did read that article too. Well, I skimmed it. I just don't believe it. I don't believe that Harrison Ford would be willing to do that.
Yeah, there's
a question, and this is something we did not see and I thought was interesting. Where were the 7 soulmates?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up a little bit later on. But yeah, they weren't there. You didn't see one bit of them.
Well, you know what we didn't do is go inside the main house.
That's true.
We were on the porch of the main house, but we never went in the main house. We were in there was the sweat yurt. And there was the self-help group area. So the ladies might be in the house, like prepping meals, getting stuff together, clean, whatever. It could have been very like Handmaid's Tale, Midsommar stuff going on there. So they wouldn't have been in the self-help group room, obviously. But yeah, I did find it interesting. We didn't see him at all. I thought maybe like at least during the scene where he was getting his inhibitor checked, maybe one of them would come out with like lemonade or something just to let him
Yeah.
know like they existed still. But like we didn't go in the house, so I guess it's more of a kind of a negative space kind of thing. Through the episode, the people in the self-help group help Jen kind of like realize that he's too dependent on Josh because Josh liked Jen and not She-Hulk, and Jen is still like she likes the fact she can become She-Hulk and become quote unquote the cool kid,
Yeah.
but she can't accept that Jen isn't also the cool kid. So there was this very like there was this nice thing about codependency between Man-Bull and El Águila. Wonderful, wonderful topics throughout. I really appreciated the group helped Jen kind of work through it. She deletes Josh's number, realizes that he has ghosted her, and that it was kind of a one and done thing for him. And they kind of help her with that. The one thing, like I said, I just didn't get, and we talked about this before. Why did she never ask Wrecker who hired her, or hired him?
Yeah,
Or even ask, really, why did you attack me?
exactly. I mean, why would you not want to find out why you got attacked instead of just talking about your personal love life? I
That
mean,
was interesting to me, what she didn't ask.
yeah.
Because, like, would think. Now, I understand, like, he very much owns up to, like, we attacked you and da 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 da. And maybe she took that as, oh, they just attacked to mug me. They just tried to mug me. But she knows they tried to stab her for her blood.
Yeah,
And the fact that
didn't bring that up. It's just like,
Sorensen actually hit on it perfectly.
exactly, yeah.
But nobody took him seriously because they thought he was doing that whole vampire gimmick thing.
Yeah,
But
and the
he
fact
nailed
that,
it.
it's daytime and he's out, and Blade, we're still a ways away from, a good ways away from Blade.
Yeah, and hopefully that doesn't get delayed now that the director left.
I was about to bring that up with you as well, that the
And
director for Blade has walked away from the project.
there's a
So,
lot of rumors that have been said, like they're basically making statements that Kevin Feige has come out and said, and he hasn't done this. So anything you've read about it, other than the fact that he's left, is pretty much BS. All we know is he left due to creative differences. He'll be a silent producer on the film still, similar to how Scott Derrickson was on Multiverse of Madness, and it's how Jon Favreau was for Iron Man 3. Don't take what you think of it as. At this point, the journalism behind comic book movies is just as bad as the dirt sheets of pro wrestling. Unless you get confirmation from the actual source, just stop putting so much weight into what these, even the more reputable sites like comicbook.com. At least with comicbook.com, when they report it, they're not reporting the BS stuff. They're trying to narrow it down, but they're still reporting rumors, but they make it very clear this is a rumor.
yeah. That's the only reason why I go to them.
Yeah, they just so don't do too much into that. But hopefully that doesn't delay Blade in any way because I don't want that. I want to see Blade. I want to see where it goes. We've already teased vampires so much in the Supernatural. Apparently Werewolf by Night got a 100% from the critics on Rotten Tomatoes. That's insane. That is insane. It got 100%.
Yeah.
And so this is going to be a huge kind of like.
Mean, I am so excited for Werewolf by Night now. Now, I have never read a Werewolf by Night comic except for issue 32, the first appearance of Moon Knight, of course. And just after seeing that trailer, I am just over the moon. Cannot wait for October 7th when it comes out. I've even started watching the Wolfman Universal Picture movies just to gear up for it.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I cannot wait. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I too haven't read that many Werewolf by Night comics, but you don't need to. I think that the character will be so much more fleshed out just in this special.
Oh, yeah.
Future brings up that he's heard that Spike Lee was on the short list of replacements for directors for Blade, but just, again, take that with a crap ton of salt on that one. I don't want Spike Lee to do it. I love Spike Lee. I think he's a hellacious director, but I don't think he's a type of director that can do Blade correctly.
No.
I think
all the credit in the world, but this would be something that's not in his wheelhouse.
I mean, hell, I mean, you know who I would like to see do it? I think Ryan Coogler could do it. I think Ryan Coogler has, I mean, we'll see how Blade or Black Panther 2 comes out, but that I have no reservations of that being another fantastic film. I have no reservation. I know that's going to be a good movie. I just know it is. I would love to see maybe him do it, but there's plenty of people out there that can do it that'll nail it. So I'm not worried about it. And Marvel has done a fantastic job in who they pick for directors. So even when something doesn't work out, like in this case, their backup plan will still be better than most anybody else's first choice.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about that at all. But with the Supernatural kicking off, it was just interesting to see kind of a tie-in here in this episode with that, with the vampire side of it. Yeah. Even if it's more of a, like, they very much, the group very much was like, yeah, you're not actually a vampire. Like, they're, even Blonsky was like, he thinks he's a vampire. Yeah,
vampire.
And, like, so for even for the person who's supposed to be helping these people to flat out be like, oh, he thinks he's a vampire, to be like that. But still, the fact that that's mentioned and brought up, that's pretty, like, I love it.
And it would and be great.
It's a nice kind of tie-in for a Werewolf by Night, sort of, indirectly.
A little bit, yeah. And also, it would be great if they brought that character back, like, in Blade.
Yeah.
Either as an actual vampire that nobody believed him, or as someone's just posing as a vampire, or even could be, like, a familiar, or not a familiar.
Yeah, familiar.
It wasn't familiar, yeah. Like a... Oh, gosh.
A human working for...
Yeah, yeah.
Norman Reedus' character in Blade 3.
Is that, yeah, Norman Reedus, that's where I was going, yeah.
Or Blade 2. He could be a nice little fun joke in Blade. Just a moment of levity. Like, he's in one of the... I don't know if they're going to do the blood raves again or something similar, but, like, he could be in, like, the vampire hole, a vampire bar, something.
Yeah, and, like, people that dress up as vampires and go to the bars, but they're just people.
Yeah, but, like, he's, like... You know, Blade's fighting a bunch of vampires, and then this guy rolls up, and then he's just like, he just punches him once, knocks him out because he knows he's not a vampire.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, you're not a vampire. Like, maybe he punches him, and it's like the fake fangs fall out or something.
Yeah. That would be
that
good.
Kind of, like, that would be funny. Yeah. So I thought this episode, we saw a lot of character growth out of Jen and out of a bunch of people, and I just thought it was a really good episode. Then we get flashback, and we get Josh's perspective.
Yeah.
And we see that slept with Jen, gets up, copies her phone,
mm-hmm.
and then also texts Hulk King that he's got the blood. And I don't think Hulk King is the leader. I think Hulk King is somebody, because there's a message in an earlier episode. I think it's the episode with the needle that we see the vibranium needle, where Hulk King's like, can we still get the blood or something? I think the Hulk King is the guy from the date that was asking all the questions that we end up seeing in court. The fact that he's a reoccurring character, I feel like he's a part of the intelligentsia. So I think he's Hulk King. But it also gave the feeling of, remember when it was Mr. Green and Mr. Blue messaging mm-hmm. an Incredible Hulk, that the leader likes to message this way. So I think that it all will lead back to the leader trying to get her blood. Because the leader's always trying to get the Hulk's blood, because he's always wanting to build his own Gamma Army.
Yeah.
And we saw that Mr. Blue and Incredible Hulk, who has become the leader, is very much about the blood and all that stuff. And when it drips into his head and the smile he gets, very much on par for that.
Yeah.
So I do believe that that Hulk King, the person under that context, is not the leader, but that is actually that guy from the dates, and that he is kind of a mediator between Josh or anybody trying to get the blood and the leader.
Yeah.
And that he's like a minion or henchman or something of the leader for intelligence. These next few episodes are going to be very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Jason on YouTube has asked, when is Werewolf by Night out? October 7th?
I believe it's the 7th, yes.
I believe it's October 7th. I believe it's like the like 1 week after the final episode of She-Hulk.
Yeah.
And then he also agreed that Spike Lee wouldn't really work as an MCU-style director, and I hope they don't do the rave or the club thing. I could still see a bar situation or a club situation, but it wouldn't be a rave. I think it'd be a more modern take on it. Do they ever explain in the comics why the leader couldn't use his own blood for gamma experiments? I think it was more about getting back to the core, like, because the Hulk was the first, and everybody else got their abilities through blood, but it's like, it's diminishing, it's the law of diminishing returns, whereas the leader got his abilities, I believe, from a blood transfusion of some sort. Similar to like Doc Samson and others and the She-Hulk, but in the comics, he's going after the Hulk because the Hulk is the patient zero.
Yeah.
So you want the purest form of it. I'm sure he immediately tested with his own blood at first. I'm sure he's not that, obviously he's supposed to be highly intelligent. The reason we're going after She-Hulk's blood here is because the She-Hulk's blood was able to heal a supposedly permanently damaged Hulk. So there's something special about her blood. So in the MCU, it makes sense to go after her blood.
Mm-hmm.
And it might also feel like it might be easier to get to her than it is to get to Bruce.
Yeah, because right now Bruce is off world.
Yeah, Bruce is literally off world now.
Yeah. And backtracking a little bit, yes, Werewolf by Night streams on October 7th.
So let's look at a calendar real quick. See when this all lays out. Calendar. So we've got there. So episode 8 of She-Hulk will be on the 6th. Oh. Okay. So episode 8 will be the 6th. Werewolf by Night will be on the 7th. And then the 13th will be the final episode of She-Hulk.
Okay.
Interesting that. A little interesting that they're laying it instead of.
Yeah.
They could have dropped it on. They could have dropped it on the 14th, or they could have dropped it on the 21st, the week after. They could have dropped it the day after the final episode. But the fact that they're not, that's interesting. Now, we kind of touched on Blonsky or Abomination possibly going to the Thunderbolts. And I think that people are like, well, they dropped the Thunderbolts team. Why wasn't he mentioned? Well, that might not have been mentioned because we still have two more episodes to go.
Yeah.
If you mention that he's going to be Abomination in Thunderbolts, it kind of hurts his story growth in She-Hulk. Again, we might get a post-credit scene where Val comes to him and says, hey, we can help you work your parole off faster, and you can be a free man, and you can be the Abomination for us and do good. Kind of sell him the same bullshit that Ross sold him.
Yeah.
But if we knew that he was already going to be in the Thunderbolts, we knew that we would know that's where the story is going.
Yeah.
So I think it was like, if he is in it, it was purposely left out. Very similar to how, like, we saw the Hulk in the trailer for Infinity War when the Hulk never actually showed up in Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. Just about misdirection, which Marvel's extremely good at.
Oh, yeah.
You'll find it weird. So weird that Werewolf by Night is after episode 8. That's odd. But, I mean, whatever. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. But still, it could be that this is just a special. It's not going to be an ongoing series and couldn't not have anything to do with any future MCU projects. We may never see Werewolf by Night ever again.
Yeah, but I also thought I meant more of just a scheduling thing. Like how they try to like not overlap Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
But the fact that this is, does overlap a little bit, I would have thought, like, because we're going to, it's going to be after She-Hulk. I think we have a little ways before we get our next project. So it's kind of weird that this is not on a week when we're not having, like, She-Hulk could be done and then you do it the next week on the 21st. Also closer to Halloween. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I the timing's a little bit off, but I don't care because that means we get it earlier, which is nice. Yeah. Also, here's what I'm thinking, Hakel.
Yeah.
Just like we're going to do these kind of Deadpool 3 videos for YouTube, I'm thinking that next Friday, after we both get a chance to watch it, we record a reaction video to that as well. Because again, it's going to kind of interrupt what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, so I don't, we shoot a video and we'll, so keep an eye out for next week. We'll do a review kind of thing. We'll have that up on YouTube. So Jen gets a wonderful therapy session with a bunch of ragtag villains and El Aguila, because again, I don't know why he's there with the villains. He was somebody in the comics who kind of like was still trying to find himself. So maybe that's what it is.
And he just made a great antagonist for Manbull because he does resemble a matador so much.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, Jen gets a lot of like kind of closure, some introspection on the connection between Jen and She-Hulk and how they don't have to be, you know, different. Jen can be just, she doesn't have to look as Jen as the meek, unwanted side. She can look at it as just as valuable. I thought that was very, very good.
Yeah. Yeah, this episode was definitely the Jen finding comfort in herself. It was almost like the deleted scene from Infinity War when Hulk and Bruce come together as one. Even though Jen and She-Hulk are one already, she just... that it was almost like they made it okay for her to emotionally be connected to Jennifer, being emotionally connected to She-Hulk.
Well, she was still looking at She-Hulk as almost a burden or a mask. And now she kind of realizes that neither one of them, like, they're both equally important. They're both who I am. They're both acceptable.
Yeah.
One isn't cooler than the other. They're both awesome. And I can be myself whether I'm Jen or I'm She-Hulk. I thought that was really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
Kel, I'm going to ask you to just kind of take over for a second. There's somebody at my door.
Oh, okay.
I will be right back.
All right. So while Vince takes care of what's going on right now, future, did they ever explain in the comics why the leader couldn't use his own blood for gamma experiments? I'm not really sure on that. I have not read a lot of comics, especially when I was younger. In my small town, Tennessee, comic books, especially like for Marvel and DC, the big two, were a rarity. Most comic books in my area was like Archie Comics and stuff like that. There probably is a reason why he couldn't, but like Vince was saying earlier, when scientists wanted to study like a pathogen that is in somebody's blood, they want to find patient zero so they can get a pure strain that is untapped. It doesn't have any mutations or alterations to it. So I would assume that's why that they wouldn't want to do that. But I'm sure once Vince comes back, he can give more insight into that particular comment. But one little fact that I found interesting about this episode was that during the therapy scene, before Wrecker comes in, you know, Jen's off to herself. She is trying to get signals, like inside the therapy hut, where the therapy building where they're at, is the only place that she can get one bar of signal because she's still trying to figure out what's going on with Josh. It was really interesting to me that when Wrecker comes out, Jen recognizes him, and that's about the only fourth wall break we get in this episode. And You know, she is like, you probably don't even remember who that is. And she's like previously said on She-Hulk, this guy, he goes and talks. They show the Wrecking Crew attacking and everything. But when Jen starts to go after him, Blonsky is just like, Jen, wait. And, you know, she slams him against a bunch of chairs and everything like that. I'll come back to this thought in a minute, but Vince Future was asking if the comics ever explained why the deleter didn't use his own blood for gamma experiments. I kind of gave my take on it, is like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, it was, that's what I was talking about when I mentioned the deleter not using his own blood. That was why I asked that question.
I mean, I don't know if they ever explained it in the comics, but I would assume that
when it's because it's
checking out anything for
law of diminishing returns. It's the fact that it's tainted as it goes down the line. Like if you've ever seen the movie Multiplicity, a clone of a clone of a clone is not as good as the original. she touched my Pepe, Steve. I
love that movie.
That movie's so good. So being that he's patient zero, he was going after the Hulk. But now in this series, we realize that, you know, She-Hulk's blood has somehow healed a seemingly unhealable Hulk. So, you know, that would be obviously the person that and obviously Banner's always been hard to get a hold of in the MCU. He's always been in hiding. He's always been able to hide very well. And he's a highly intelligent person. Not that Jen isn't a highly intelligent person, but he's very much in the limelight. Very much out there. I mean, hell, she got something we didn't touch on yet. She got nominated for Female Lawyer of the Year.
Oh, yeah, she did.
So, you know, just, but she's out there. She's in the limelight. She's very easy to find. So,
yeah.
There were actually no fourth wall breaks in this episode. You know, Future mentioned, I noticed there were getting fewer and fewer fourth wall breaks. Yeah, there were actually none in this episode.
No, there was one.
Was there?
When right before you come back, I was talking about what we were talking about earlier when Wrecker first comes in and Jen recognizes him and she breaks fourth wall. Saying is like, you probably don't even remember this guy. And then they do the flashback to Wrecker.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really the only one. So it was just a real quick little break. But, yeah, it does feel like we're getting less and less fourth wall breaks. Where, like, we had two in episode one, three in episode two, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because it's the series is ramping up and it's kind of like getting a slightly more serious tone because we're getting to this episode 8 and 9 are going to be kind of a reveal of who's after her and what's going on. So I think that as that happens, the fourth wall breaks will kind of maybe die back a little bit. I also appreciated that we once again did not get Daredevil into this episode and the dude bros are going to be pissed. I'm so happy about it. it's becoming the Mephisto thing.
Yeah.
We're being teased with a devil that we're not getting, but obviously we're going to get him, seen him in the trailers. We've seen scenes of the two of them talking at the bar.
Well, it's like you were saying earlier, you know, can we actually trust the trailers? Because
that's true too.
We had Incredible Hulk in the trailer for Infinity War. And it was like that whole, everybody
the
running
big scene running down the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And that scene never happened.
So I don't know, maybe.
It'd be like that video that I sent you on TikTok where the guy was saying that, you know, that whole scene of Daredevil could have just been for the trailer to get hype. And then we could not see Daredevil at all.
Which I would be okay with, like, because I don't need him in this episode. But I do believe he'll be there because... Yeah. I don't think they're going to do that. Like, I don't think they're going to go that far.
Yeah.
I do think we'll get him there, but I just love the fact that we, you know, haven't gotten him yet and that all these people are getting pissed and like, oh, how are you going to tease it and not be there? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. People are so stupid. But I think that he'll probably come in because he'll probably have some insight onto Intelligentsia.
Probably.
Maybe. So. We might get him next episode, or maybe not till episode 9, but we might get two episodes. But Oh, Frogman.
Yeah.
Leapfrog. We haven't gotten him yet. But we did get somebody picking up their super suit and walking out, and he looked like the actor who has been cast as Leapfrog. So we'll probably get Leapfrog next episode, I would imagine.
Yeah,
might even be like Leapfrog tries to help when she gets attacked, fails miserably, and then Daredevil shows up and actually helps save the day, kind of thing.
Yeah,
but I really do feel like we're gonna get Leapfrog because the fact that they announced an actor for it, we have somebody cast for it, we've already seen them technically, even though it was the back of their head as they walked out. We have seen them, so I do feel we'll get Leapfrog probably this next episode. At this point, I just don't even know. I don't even want to speculate where it's going to go. I don't know. Like, I always kind of thought the leader might show up, but this whole Intelligentsia thing and going after her blood and Josh and all that has led down a very interesting rabbit hole. And who knows where it could go. But I think
my personal feelings, if we are going to get to see Deadpool, I definitely think it's going to be
Daredevil.
Yeah, sorry. Who did I say?
You said Deadpool. Don't throw that out there.
Deadpool. Oh God. Yeah. I can't help it. I man crush Ryan Reynolds so hard. I can't help it. Anyway, if we do get Daredevil, I think it should be this next episode 8, because Jen does not want to be a hero with her abilities. So I think, to me, it makes sense to have, you know, Daredevil, who has this disability of being blind, but nobody knows that, so I don't even know why I brought that up. But anyway, it's been a long week. But anyway, back to my thought. To have Daredevil like show her that, you know, sometimes you have to be the hero. You can, like we were talking about last week, you know, you can, in the courtroom, you can protect people with justice, but sometimes you have to go beyond justice to help the people that need saving or whatever, you know. And then she comes to realize that at the end of episode 8, I mean, and then we can finally see that back shot of her in her suit, her hero suit. And then we can end the episode right there, and then her going after the people behind Intelligentsia and Josh and Hulk King, whoever he may be.
Yeah. So all in all, episode 7, I think, was another fantastic episode. I had a lot of fun with it. The show has just been a huge breath of fresh air, regardless of all the toxic assholes out there. I'm thoroughly enjoying the show. And quite frankly, if you're not enjoying the show, that's fine. Just don't watch it. And yeah. You don't have to watch, like, even if you're a big MCU fan, you don't have to watch every piece of MCU. I don't go back and watch Thor Dark World. I don't go back and watch the ones I didn't enjoy very much, like Iron Man 3. You know, I don't do that. Like, unless I'm doing like an MCU binge watch where I watch everything while I watch them again. But if I don't like it, I don't like Eternals. I actually liked Eternals, but Eternals to me is not like super rewatchable.
Yeah.
So I don't watch it all the time. Whereas there are other films that I watch a lot, like Doctor Strange. I love that movie. Winter Soldier is so rewatchable.
Oh yeah.
Like I've watched the Loki. I've watched that season 2 or 3 times now. I've watched Miss Marvel again. I just, you know, if I like it, I watch it. If I don't like it, I don't watch it. That's all there is to it. You don't have to consume everything. You're like, oh, well, they make it to where you have to watch it just to be in to know what's going on. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because, you know, my friend Denise, constant friend of the show, never watched WandaVision. She watched the first 2 episodes. She didn't really like it. She never went back to it.
Yeah.
But she went into Multiverse of Madness. She wasn't lost. You know, she's like, now she didn't realize that Wanda had, you know, the only question she had to ask was when he mentioned that her kids weren't real. you know, she thought she had kids, you know, and like, I know she made them with magic in WandaVision.
Yeah.
Okay. That was her only real question.
Yeah,
they're pretty good about
it. You don't have to go watch these things to get caught up. Just have nerd friends like us. We'll explain it. We'll be happy to.
Well, also, like, they do a really good job of kind of explaining things, like, throughout the series. So, like, or a movie or something. Like, they don't leave a lot of things to where you're like, oh, you have to have watched that. To like, they very much treat it like the comics, where if you want to, there's usually that little blurb where somebody will say something, there's a little asterisk next to it, and it'll be like, as stated in issue, blah, 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 blah. If you want to go back and read more about it, you can. Same with the MCU. If you want to go back and dive more into it, you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, if it's not for you, then don't watch it. But stop being toxic. Stop being idiots. Stop trying to get clout off of being negative. And just shut the fuck up. The best thing I can say. On that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. Thank everybody so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. Love to you all. Anybody in the Florida area, please stay safe. If you are in a much more devastated area than I happen to be in, hopefully you can get the help you need. Reach out if you need to. And we will see you guys next week.